Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
I did not think I would have this attitude 17 games into the season. I never would have believed that. Maybe. No. No, I would never believe. If you would have told me prior to opening day that we would sit here 17 games into the season and I feel this way, I never would have believed you. The Royals are now 11-6. For the moment, they own the fourth best record in Major League Baseball. If you would have told me that prior to first pitch on opening day, I would expect a lunatic on the radio. Ranting and raving and serving as a cheerleader of sorts. A gobsmacked cheerleader is what I thought you would hear on the radio. But instead, now Royals win again. They beat the White Sox again. They shut out Chicago again. Behind a great start from Seth Lugo. Again, behind a quality start from this rotation, again, someone that was brought in this offseason stepping up in a big way, again, James MacArthur nasty, again. I want to talk about it again with you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The reason why I say I never could have predicted feeling like this, like, well, they did what they've been doing. I never believed I would think like that 17 games into the season because, as some of you understand, some of you that have listened to way too many of these post-game shows, you understand that, no, I'm not shocked that the rotation is pitching well. Now, am I shocked they're the best in the sports? Yeah, that's certainly surprising. I'm not surprised that the rotation is good or the defense is stout or the base running is excellent. What I'm surprised about is the offense and my confidence in the offense. Even when there is a slumping bat, whether that's Vinny early on or Michael Garcia late, to me, there's still enough interesting, damaging bats that come to the dish where I think Bobby can win it. I think Vinny and Nelly and MJ can all come through with that big knock. I like the approach of Nick Lofton. I like what Adam Frazier and Freddie Fermin are bringing. How about the opposite field single from Kyle Isbell to put the boys up 2-0? I thought I would be a tad bit more over the moon at the fact that this offense has seemingly dropped it into gear as far as what it takes to win on a nightly basis. We don't need a hero. What we need is execution. Force the opposition to come to you. Put the pressure on the dude on the hill. For as much big game inexperience as there is on this team when it comes to the offense, right? Bobby, Michael, Vinny, Nelly, MJ, Lofton, Fermin, Isbell, they've never played in a meaningful game outside of the season's first month. And yet, the confidence from all of them is apparent. Now, Mikel going through it right now, another 0-for-3. He's now 0 for his last 19 with a couple walks. It's been a rough stretch for him. But truth be told, Mikel wasn't one of the guys that I was even concerned about coming into the season. I put Mikel closer to the group of Vinny and Bobby and Salvi than I did MJ, Massey, Velasquez, Lofton, Isbell, the guys that I was curious to see how they were going to handle real expectations. A fan base that was excited for what this team could be. A clubhouse, an organization that was excited about what this team could be. How were they going to handle those expectations, those bright lights, that pressure? And so far the answer is swimmingly. So I'm fired up, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm locking it into gear. I'm viewing this team no longer as a are they going to survive team. Now, I'm going to maintain the mantra. I'm going to continue to ask this team simply to maintain through May. I'm not going to get too far out ahead of my skis. But when I'm watching this team right now, it doesn't look like a team that's trying to prove anything else to itself. It now seems as if they know who they are, and they're turning it on you. The fans, the media, and the rest of Major League Baseball telling you might want to start paying attention. Royals win 2-0. The phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. We need to talk about J.J. Piccolo and manager Matt Quatrero. We're 17 games into the season. We got 90% of the campaign still ahead of us. I understand that. But I'm wondering how you're feeling. I'm wondering how comfortable you're feeling with the power structure currently within this Royals organization. From ownership to the front office to the coaching staff. Because tonight and these first 3 weeks have been very impressive on that front. You see Seth Lugo, the one guy that the Royals gave more than 2 years to. Right? Seth Lugo has a 2-year contract with a player option for a third. Seth Lugo has thrown 4 quality starts in his first 4 trips to the hill. Has an ERA of 1.05. You bring him in. You bring in Michael Wacha. You trade for Cole Reagans and Nelson Velasquez and John Schreiber and James MacArthur. You bring in Matt Quatrero, who, the way he's handled this bullpen early on, it's been respectful but decisive. Now, Will Smith, he's pulled in the 9th inning. Excuse me. Will Smith blows a save. The next save opportunity, Q goes right back to him. He closes it down. Next time out, he blows it. Q goes right back to him, but doesn't allow him to burn the team. Pulls him quickly, goes to James MacArthur, and we haven't seen Will Smith burn this team since. Q hasn't allowed it. Chris Stratton, yesterday, walks 4 batters in the 8th inning and lost that game. He said as much afterward. The organization tells you, well, you know, we're still confident in Stratton. We think he was a little squeezed in that game yesterday in New York. Oh, yeah? Well, actions speak louder than words. Prove it. What does Q do? He hands the ball right back to Chris Stratton today in the 8th inning. 3 up, 3 down on 13 pitches. Respectful but decisive. Had Angel Zerpa up in the bullpen ready to go just in case things got sideways because he wasn't going to allow Stratton to burn him again. You can say you believe in a guy, but actions speak louder than words. And Will Smith and Chris Stratton carry a lot of weight in that clubhouse. Will Smith, to some, listen, it's Salvador Perez's team, it's Bobby's clubhouse, But Will Smith is a leader in that clubhouse. He is a big voice. Does a great job of bringing the guys together, making sure that we understand that this needs to be one. That for those 2.5 hours, we need to be one out there. And I can't tell you how many pitchers on this team name Chris Stratton when I ask, whose brain are you picking? Who's handed down the best advice? Chris Stratton. Stratton's great. Matt Quatrero, J.J. Piccolo. I think we need to dive into that power structure tonight. They were flexing. They were on display tonight as the Royals win again and have now taken all 5 meetings with the division rival Chicago White Sox, outscoring the Pale Hose by 17 runs across the 5 games. All right, let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Hey, my game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's head over to Tulsa. And Jake, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, you know, we've been known as that young, talented team, you know, the prospects, Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez. But we have to kind of thank the front office and Piccolo for bringing in the veteran presence as of Lugo and Waka and, you know, Will Smith. And, you know, that's kind of humbled the young guys. Not that they're getting too far ahead of themselves, but everyone needs to have veteran presence in their locker room. I think we've done just that, and we found our groove.
Thank you very much for the phone call, Jake. And listen, you're not the first baseball fan to identify the importance of veterans. JJ's not the first GM to identify what we need is a few veterans in the bullpen. No, what you need is quality players, first and foremost, right? I remember we brought in Andrew Benintendi and Michael A. Taylor and Carlos Santana. I remember those press conferences of, hey, we brought in these guys, and look, they have World Series rings. They have postseason experience. Yeah, but you know what they didn't have? Well, some of them may have, but I know a few did not have the leadership skills of, hey, man, why don't you come sit down here and let's just chop it up a little bit. The interpersonal skills weren't always strong. Not too many people have the interpersonal clubhouse skills of a Will Smith. So you're 100% right, Jake. Not only did they bring in vets, they brought in the right type of vet. One that isn't hesitant to share. One that is happy starting the conversation, approaching a player that is 5-6 years his junior. 4-6 years of less big league experience. Now, Michael Wacha's picking the brain of Cole Reagans. Michael Wacha debuted 13 years ago. Cole Reagans came into this season with 12 big league starts under his belt. Not only did they bring in veteran leadership, they brought in the type of veteran leadership that young, impressionable, eager, excited, talent-rich, baseball-playing minds needed. Way to get us started, Jake. Opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7610. Royals win 2-0. And they throw Brady Singer to the hill tomorrow in Game 2. Let's go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks, Vern. There's an Allman Brothers song about 71-72. Sometimes I feel like I'm tied to the whipping post. Tied to the whipping post. Tied to the whipping post. Sometimes I feel like I'm dying. Royals opponents are tied to the whipping post. Walks and hits per innings pitched. I looked it up today. Singer is .76. Lugo after today is 1.05. Walk is 1.06. Cole Reagans is 1.20. Reagans has the worst one of those four. So the best an opponent can get in the first five innings of a game is six base runners, an average of six base runners in the first five innings of a game. If that isn't a recipe for success, I don't know what is. And if that isn't just an insane statistic, I don't know what is. If they keep that up, they'll win 90 or 95 games. Because we remember the years 4 or 5 years ago, the last several years, where we're walking six guys in the first three or four innings. We're not doing that anymore. And all you can do if you're an opponent is you better get them early, because if you don't get them early, you're done. And even when you score two or three runs, the Royals will come back because they're limiting the damage to two or three runs based on the whip. It's not just whip, Vern. Here, wait for it. It's Miracle Whip.
Wow, what a call, Phil, my guy. You're right, Royals' best whip in Major League Baseball. The Royals' rotation has walks and hits per innings pitched 1.04, best in Major League Baseball. They've thrown 102 innings. That's the best in Major League Baseball. They have 11 quality starts. That's the most in Major League Baseball. They have a collective ERA of 2.29, that's the second best in Major League Baseball. Tonight, the pitching staff with its third shutout of the season and the sixth time they've held an opponent to one run or fewer. That is the most in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I'm just going to continue to piggyback off that terrific phone call, Phil. He's right. If this continues, yeah, they are going to win 90 games. Well, I should just leave it at that. Yeah, if they lead Major League Baseball in whip and innings pitched and have the second best ERA, there's just no doubt about it. They're going to win 90 games. They're going to win the division. They're going to find themselves in the postseason. Royals starting pitchers have gone at least six innings, allowing two earned runs or fewer in 11 of the first 17 games. You know, I opened the show talking about I can't believe how I'm reacting to this win and the way that they're playing right now. I thought I would be a tad bit over the moon, but I'm just taking my cues from Q and the team. This is what we expect to do. Execute, throw strikes, run the bases hard, make the routine play defensively. And when you have a superstar like Bobby Witt Jr. and all-star talents like Salvi and Vinny and Michael and MJ, if this pitching maintains, there's just no doubt about what Phil had to say. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Yeah, Brady Singer tomorrow. Man, this pitching staff is amazing. What do you think about McEntire for AL Manager of the Year, Vern?
Well, if they end up with that many wins, no doubt about it. If they win the division, thanks for the phone call. Matt Quatrero is going to win Coach of the Year, no doubt. Thanks for the phone call, Garrett. Phone line is open for you, 913-586-7610. We head out to Washington, talk with our good buddy Jason. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
I think I can speak for all Royals fans to breathe a sigh of relief today when we found out Salvi is going to be okay.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, my, right? Like, ooh.
But I was worried yesterday, man.
Oh, me too, man. I was like, uh-oh, you know? But, great win. I love the bounce back of this team because we still haven't lost two in a row, you know, so technically we don't have a losing streak. But serious kudos to Q for bringing in Stratton to have a bounce back game. And just Seth Lugo, dude, he was on fire today, man. Just comment and just – thanks, man. Thanks, Vern, for the show and all your feedback. Love listening to you every game, man. Thank you.
Jason, thank you for the phone call. Listen, appreciate you bringing up Salvi. Yeah, if you're one of those people that listen to the post-game show consistently, if you're nice enough to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, well, then you may have heard what I was saying after yesterday's game in New York. Yeah, I was distressed about the idea of losing Salvi for a month. That's where I was at yesterday. Even though I have 12 years of experience and a front row seat of seeing Salvi get concussed or COVID or a collision or, you know, knee surgery, elbow surgery, the thing in his eye where, you know, they have to drain it. And he just comes back better, stronger, hungrier. I swear I've seen him rip apart a knee, have his leg ripped in half, take a foul ball off the neck, and I am certain he's going to the IL. And then you show up to the ballpark the next day and they're like, no, he was trying to get in the lineup today. It's amazing. And you're 100% right. That is still the best news of the day. And they won a game. Royals win 2-0. But the best news of the day is Salvi was campaigning to get in the lineup today. And you know he's already campaigned to get in the lineup tomorrow. Terrific news. You know I'm with you when it comes to Matt Cutrero. Actions speak louder than words. If you still believe in Chris Stratton, well, he's your eighth inning guy. Go to him in the eighth. He did. Went right to him in the eighth inning. And Stratton gives Q a reason to go back to him. Now, it won't be tomorrow, but in a couple days, maybe when the series opens up against the Baltimore Orioles coming up on Friday. Speaking of that series, don't forget I'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Royals and O's go at it Friday night at Kauffman Stadium. I'll give you those chances to win tomorrow and on Wednesday, 1 hour before first pitch on Vern's On Deck Show. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. That's also the text line number. I got to dive into this text line. We'll do that and we'll head inside the Royals clubhouse after this.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
The 2-1. Pasquantino drills it deep to straightaway right. Grossman turns around. That's long gone. Vinny Pasquantino homers for the second straight game. His third home run of the season overall, and the Royals are on the board first tonight. It's 1-0 in the top of the fourth.
Royals would be the only team to put a run on the board. They win. They take the opener from the White Sox on the south side of Chicago. Your final score, 2-0. Vinny puts him on the board with that fourth inning blast. And then in the fifth inning, after a ground out from MJ Melendez, Nick Lofton puts the ball in play on an 0-2 offering, pitch off the plate, but nothing's going to happen if you punch out. Lofton fights one off. It bloops into center field. Adam Frazier follows with an 8-pitch walk. And with two outs and two on, Kyle Isbell sees a hole on the left side. And on a changeup up in the zone, doesn't try to get big, goes with it, shoots it through that left side hole, scoring Nick Lofton from second base, putting the Royals up 2-0, and the pitching would take care of the rest. Well, the pitching and the defense. You hear Vinny's home run there in the fourth inning. In the bottom half of the fourth, Vinny made a terrific catch in foul territory, leaping into the net for the first out of Seth Lugo's fourth frame. Lugo goes 99 pitches, 7 innings of 4-hit baseball. Lugo, 4 straight quality starts to start his career in Kansas City. An ERA of 1.05. Lugo punches out 4, walks only 1. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, until further notice, the General has put a lockdown on the closer's role. No doubt about it. James MacArthur, who, now this is just in my head because Chris Stapleton was on Saturday Night Live last night. But that song, White Horse, by Chris Stapleton, that's the entrance music for James MacArthur. If you haven't been at the K when he's coming in for a save opportunity, the song hits. I like it. I honestly wouldn't be opposed to them starting it maybe a little bit sooner when he's trotting out of that bullpen in right field. MacArthur picks up his third save. He picks up a pair of punch-outs in a scoreless ninth. 913-586-7610. With the win, the Royals are now 11-6, a half game back of Cleveland for the division lead. It's the Royals' best start in 8 years. Their run differential remains the best in Major League Baseball, a run differential of plus 39. That's the best run differential through 17 games that we've seen in Kansas City since the 1977 Boys in Blue, the team that Denny Matthews calls the greatest team in Royals history. Speaking of Denny Matthews, I see Spike in St. Joe was curious how Denny's doing. Well, Denny was on earlier today with Carrington on the drive and had this to say about his expectations for the Royals and White Sox in this three-game series.
Against the White Sox and the way they've started and the way they played here, win three games, period. And anything less would not be good. Now, it's a major league team, barely. I'm not trying to defame the White Sox. They play hard, I guess, but they've got nothing going. So if you don't win three games in there, well, I think you're not going to feel real good about it. Chances are maybe you win two out of three if they play really well in one of those games. Baseball, you know that. Chicago could win three games. What are the odds? Well, not very likely, let's put it that way. But, yeah, if you don't win three there, the way they've started and the way they're playing, it's a disappointment.
You can hear the entire conversation between C-Dot and the GOAT, Denny Matthews. Just hit up the Odyssey app and search The Drive. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Nico in the Northland. You're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. Great show. Kudos to the entire Royals organization. J.J. Piccolo put together a great team. Yep. And I'm making a plea to Kansas City to back this team. Show up at the K. Cheer loud because we're 11-6, and that hasn't happened in a while. So I just want to say thank you. Continue on with the mission, and go Royals. Thank you.
Salute. Cheers. 11-6. Royals haven't started this well since 2016. Let's head out to Waldo. Talk with Kyle. You're on the postgame show as the Royals win 2-0. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, Vern. Fucking kick him off. Kick him all the down.
Okay.
Los Santo.
All right.
But kick them all down. And these Royals, man, you gave me last year, I said they remind me of the 2013 Royals, and these guys are playing their hearts out.
Wait, last year you thought that team looked like 2013?
Yes. Really? Yes, okay. And you didn't want any part of that.
Yeah, I still don't. The team won 56 games last year. What are you talking about?
I know. Well, but towards the end of the season, man, they came on strong. And, man, these guys are playing good. And all we needed was some starting pitching. They're playing their hearts out. I love it. Keep them going. Come on, Royals.
I got you, Kyle. No, man, I understand where you're at. I'm with you. They are playing their hearts out. Yeah. No, I got you. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it, buddy. They're pitching their hearts out. Again, guys. I tweeted it out after yesterday's game, but the numbers are even better today. So here's what I need you to do. Think about how good Cole Reagans has been. Since he joined this rotation, he's been unbelievable, right? 16 starts with an ERA below 2.5. He was arguably the best left-handed pitcher in the American League for the final 2 months last year. I mean, he was the best pitcher in the American League for the month of August. He has an award that says so. Cole Reagans has been outstanding. I mean, he's your opening day starter, and he's been a boss this year. The Royals' rotation in 2024, Singer, Waka, Lugo, Reagans, Marsh, those five have now made 17 starts. Their numbers are better than Cole Reagans. Right? Their ERA is 2.29. They're giving you more than six innings every time they take the ball. So I'm with you. Yeah, they're playing their hearts out and all that. No, they're pitching their freaking tails off. Defending their tails off. The numbers say they have the best defense in Major League Baseball. The numbers say they have the best base running team in Major League Baseball. So yeah, they're playing their hearts out, but they're also just playing very, very good baseball. The things that matter, or as I've said, the things that sustain. Starting pitching, defense, base running, and hitters with confidence. That stuff sustains. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Tyler in Chicago. Tyler, nice to hear from you. I understand you were in the building tonight.
I was. You got me all right here, Vern.
Oh, you sound great, man. How are you?
Perfect. I'm doing phenomenal. I've driven out to Guaranteed Rate a couple times, once in September, once in April, and I'm 2-0. I'll take it. So, yeah, fabulous. And I think tonight was exactly the kind of win we needed after, you know, as you, I think, really perfectly captured yesterday, that kind of the unsettling feeling that yesterday's loss brought us with Salvi and losing the game that you really had a great chance to win with Reagans on the starter's bump. You go into Chicago and you just take care of business. You know, it felt like the Royals just went in there and said, all right, here's Vinny Pasquantino. He's going to hit a 421-foot home run. Who on your White Sox team can rake and lead the way that Vinny Pasquantino can? You know, Seth Lugo, go in there, throw seven shutout innings. Who on that White Sox team can pitch the way he's been pitching through these first few weeks? Nobody. And I get it. It's a low bar to clear with the White Sox, but it just feels nice to say that because, you know, we've all know what we've been through as Royals fans with, you know, some of the losses, the ways they can pile up over the last few years. And it feels really nice to just go into a ballpark and say, hey, our stars are going to be better than yours, and there's not much you can do about that.
Right,
and
right.
To circle back to your question earlier about the leadership structure in the organization, you can't be disappointed with it at all so far. I remember we had another J.J. Piccolo day back in August, somewhere around the trade deadline, and we were talking about what he'd done through his first couple deadlines and how, you know, some individual moves, you know, a la Whit Merrifield and a couple others in there, maybe might not look the best individually, but when you take things collectively together and look at his batting average on his moves, it looks very good. And the bottom line is Hunter Renfroe might not be going just yet. You know, Adam Frazier still might not be producing in every situation the way he hoped he would, but bottom line is those guys are losing you games a whole lot less frequently than players like Seth Lugo and Michael Waka are winning you games. And they're not only pitching well, they're helping out the bullpen, creating that healthy competition in the rotation that we see every time, you know, one of those guys leaves the game and talks about it in the dugout. So it's great. I love it. I'm happy with it. And let's hope we can get the series. Talk to you later, Vern.
No doubt about it, Tyler. Well, you heard what Denny Matthews had to say. Not only get the series, but win every single game. Tyler, you're smart enough, you're a good enough broadcaster, you know better than to argue with Denny Matthews. You know, when I first heard that, I'm like, really, Denny? It's still a road series, you expect a sweep? Then you watch Chicago and you're like, yeah, no, he's right. And then you remember the four-game sweep at Kauffman Stadium. You see that there's no Moncada, no Luis Robert. Dylan Cease is a Padre now. Yeah, you know what? Maybe he's right. Their defense is second worst in baseball. Base running wise, they're third worst. Their OPS is dead last. Run differential is worst in the game by a freaking mile. I have a tough time fixing my lips to say you need to sweep a team in their house. But now I don't need to do that because Denny Matthews did that. Tyler, always nice hearing from you. And you're right. Let's go get the series. Another kid making his big league debut tomorrow night for the White Sox, going opposite Brady Singer. Brady Singer, who, despite the fact that this organization hasn't played truly in a meaningful game outside of May since 2017, 106 losses last year, losing in 22, losing in 21, a losing team in 2020. Despite all of that, when Brady Singer's on the hill, the Royals have a winning record. 3 games above 500 since 2020. Almost 100 games below 500 when anyone else starts. And you got him going tomorrow. And then you have one of the true cagey right-handers in Major League Baseball going in the finale on Wednesday afternoon. So no doubt, get the series. But I think now we got to talk about the sweep. Coming home 13-6, first place in the division, best record maybe in the American League, best run differential in Major League Baseball, welcoming the Baltimore Orioles with redemption on your mind. Let's go to Aaron in Blue Springs. Aaron, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals shut out the White Sox 2-0.
Yeah, it was a pretty good outing for Lugo tonight. No, just kind of piggybacking off of that last caller, Josh. Or no, Tyler, sorry.
Yep.
You're Josh. no, for sure. What he was saying about just like the pitching staff and what you've been talking about, the pitching staff and everything, it's just been real refreshing to see this year. Like when a starter comes off of the field and they're done for the night and all five of them get together every time. Like, I don't know being a baseball fan and loving the sport, and you see something like that and you see the camaraderie and how well they're working together, how you can't just, I mean, you stand up and give them an ovation, you know, because you can see how much they care and how much they want to work towards winning. And you just appreciate that. But yeah, it's like you said, when you're talking about going for the sweep on a team like the White Sox, let's be honest, they're probably one of the worst teams in baseball. And when you're playing teams like that, you got to, you know, put them in their place. You got to take care of business. And, you know, if we come back home this weekend with a sweep and, like you said, best run differential in baseball, leading the division, and with a great record coming home, I mean, I only hope that the K is rocking. And I just got one more question, and then I'll listen to you off the air. You've been great tonight. Yeah, everything's been going good. Bats are starting to come alive a little bit and everything here and there. But, like, with Mikel, and Lord knows I love him as a prospect and a third baseman. He's a stud. But he has been – I mean, it is what it is, but he has been struggling lately. What would kind of be your idea and your mindset of, like, what do you think Q's thinking – on leaving him up there, if you think he's going to make a change or something like that. But yeah, but like I said, I'll listen off the air. Thanks for having me, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. You're right about the putrid nature of the Chicago White Sox. They're the first team in almost a quarter of a century to lose 14 of their first 16 games. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm really hoping it's a packed crowd Friday at Kauffman Stadium. Again, I'll have tickets for you to win tomorrow beginning at 5:30 on the On Deck Show, and then Wednesday beginning at 12 noon on the On Deck Show. Right now, only the Oakland Athletics are drawing fewer fans per game than the Kansas City Royals. How wild is that? Miami, Colorado, Tampa, they're all bringing more per game than the Royals. That's wild. Your point about all five starting pitchers, yeah, that is... very cool to see, endearing, one of those things that becomes a thing over the course of a baseball season, and in special baseball seasons, those type of things take on a life of their own. The romanticism around it, the buildup around it, the importance of it will just continue to grow so long as this rotation continues to shove. If I can be honest, something I'm always thinking when I watch those five together after a start is, how much longer can those five remain the five? Not because of poor performance. You know, Lugo's not going anywhere, nor is Waka, nor is Reagans, nor is Singer. It's really the only guy. There was only one spot open in spring training. Alec Marsh won it. But you see what's going on around Major League Baseball. You understand the darn near impossibility of getting through 162 with the same five starters? That's very much unlikely, and yet I can't think of this team without those five. Those five are this team. It's a pitching and defense team, a starting pitching and defense team. What is Q thinking with Michael Garcia? I can't tell you what Q's thinking. I could take a guess. I don't even know if I should do that. I'll give you my thoughts. All right, so you want to move Michael out of the leadoff spot. You don't want to move him off of third base, right? We're not trying to do that. Do you flip? Do you put MJ Melendez at the top? Seen that before? I don't know. You know, MJ 0 for 4 tonight with the strikeouts. Michael Garcia went 0 for 3 with a walk. To me, and I said it earlier today on the On Deck Show, Michael Garcia proved enough to me last year that I'm going to have patience with him. Not just now, but in his next slump, I'll be patient with him. Tomorrow you're facing a righty. I wouldn't make a change. Because things have been going so well, and maybe this is Ned Yost of me. But no, I'm not all that anxious to make a move right now in the lineup. Is he pressing? Yeah, probably. How could he not? But he's gotten out of something like this before. He's persevered through this before. To do what he did last year with all that losing, with nobody in the stands, with no real external motivation, he showed me that he's a pro. Showed me that he's a high IQ, well-rounded ball player. So I'm going to give that young man some grace. But like I was saying with Q, with the respectful but decisive way he's handled the bullpen, handled the bench this year, I think he'll go about it the exact same way as Michael Garcia. Once he sees, or Alex Umwalt, or anyone on that coaching staff, sees a reason to believe that Michael's no longer in a good spot mentally, that's when you make a move. When you think the young man's just spinning himself in the ground. And I remember last year, when maybe it was 2 years ago, whenever Bobby was serving as the leadoff hitter, said it's all he would think about. Am I going to swing at the first pitch? All morning leading up to the game, he would just fixate on that first at-bat. Michael Garcia thrived in the leadoff role last year. In my opinion, proved to me that he can handle it over the course of a full season at the big league level. Shoot. Michael was one of the first guys in my mind that passed the evaluation season in 2024. So am I going to allow a 0 for 19 with a couple walks and 7 punchouts send me running for the hills? No. Those numbers are alarming. But do I want to see Nick Lofton, Adam Frazier in the leadoff spot? I still think I trust Mikel Garcia to get through it, to give me as good a plate appearance as anybody else I could put up there. We'll see what Michael Massey can do whenever he returns. We'll see if Salvi's back in the lineup tomorrow. In my opinion, you don't want to appear as if you're making a panic move, a reactionary move. You want to be respectful, but decisive. Encouraging, but decisive. I'd leave them there. I'd let them get through this Chicago series, hopefully beat up on those White Sox pitchers. If he's still staring at an offer, when this series comes to an end on Wednesday, we can reconvene and maybe have a different game plan Friday against Baltimore. That'd be my answer. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Royals win. They take the opener in Chicago. 2-0 your final score. They're 11-6 on the season. A half game back of first place. Quick timeout. We get to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
One ball, two strikes. MacArthur delivers. Breaking ball, low and outside. Jimenez checked his swing. He went around. Strike three. First base umpire Jordan Baker says he swung, and the game is over. The Royals blank the White Sox 2-0 and take game one of this three-game series at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals win 2-0. The record is now 11-6. Save number three on the season for James MacArthur, his fifth straight scoreless appearance. MacArthur strikes out two in today's outing. Make that eight strikeouts for MacArthur in his last 5 2/3 scoreless innings of relief. Four hits, one walk, a hit batsman, so a grand total of six base runners, eight strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings for your closer, James MacArthur. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. A lot coming in on the text line from the 816. Vern, what an exciting start for Seth Lugo. And big props to James MacArthur cementing his place as the closer for 2024. Go Royals. More than an exciting start for Seth Lugo. Four straight quality starts. He's 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA. A homerless streak of 39 1/3 innings dating back to last September. And if you go back to the beginning of last year, Seth Lugo has spun a quality start in 21 of his last 30 outings. He was mixing all of his pitches tonight, keeping Chicago's no-name lineup very much off balance. He spoke with Annie Rogers and Jalen Thompson after the game, and Bally Sports Kansas City was there. Here's Seth Lugo.
I feel like I had most of my pitches moving the directions I want. I was able to locate when I needed to.
What's the difference between facing these guys earlier in April versus today?
Well, really, you know, there's kind of a different lineup. I know a few of the guys are hurt over there, but, you know, it's kind of heavy left-handed tonight. But really just trying to mix up my pitches from my last start.
How would you categorize this group that you're in these first couple of starts with the Royals?
I'm trying not to think about it. Just keep putting in work and stick with my routine. And, you know, just try to stay locked in each night on pitch.
How helpful has it been to have guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Adam Frazier up the middle for you, Mikel Garcia, making those defensive plays?
Yeah, it's great. I feel like anytime a runner reaches first, you know, if I can get contact, those guys got a good chance to turn it too. So, you know, having an infield like that, it's huge for me.
Speaking of that, in the I think it was the sixth inning, that double play to get you out of there quickly. How big was that for you?
It was huge. I feel like Vaughn's he's a good hitter, and I was able to mix pitches well and get him to hit the ball on the ground. I know with him, you're one mistake away from tying the game, so getting him out double play was pretty big there.
One of the big messages in the offseason from front office and management and coaches was for the pitching staff to really attack the strike zone. How contagious does that become early in the season when you guys take it into real games and see the success that you've been having?
I think it's big. As a starter, when the other starter's gone, you know, you're constantly watching, seeing how they're attacking guys, what sequences they're using. What happens when you make quality pitches in the strike zone? And I think like you said, it kind of feeds off on the whole staff. So it's been fun, and it's nice to watch other guys do that as well.
Part of your game plan throwing more sinkers tonight against them than previously?
I think it just worked out that way. I felt like I had a good sinker in the bullpen, so I just went with it. It wasn't necessarily the game plan going in, but after a few early in the game, I felt like it was a good pitch tonight.
Yeah, that's a veteran right there, a veteran move. Seth Lugo following a 7 shutout inning performance, 4 hits, 4 punch outs, and only 1 walk for the 34-year-old. 913-586-7610. We go back to the text line. Dan in KCK. Lugo's on pace to win 20 games. Vern, we haven't had one of them since Mark Gubiza. Is that right? From the 816, Vern, giraffes can pluck apples off trees easily, just like any team in baseball can beat the Chicago Trash Sox. All right, and then he goes on to tell me how it's all a mirage. All right. Not everyone buying in to the Royals' 11-6 start. That's all right. Pletch writes in, our good buddy Pletch writing in. Vern, which win was more important today? This one or the news that we get Salvi back? He would tell you this one. Yeah, he would tell you that, wouldn't he? Vern, he would tell you that the win on the field is more important, and that's just one of the many things that endears him to Royals fans. Lucky breaks, like Salvi being healthy, those are the things that play into special seasons. And this season has certainly gotten off to a special start. We have wrinkles to iron out, no doubt about it, Vern, but it seems we're working with pretty good fabric. Signed, Pletch. Well said. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. From the 913, nice home run, Vinny, and James MacArthur, you are amazing. A couple of baseball emojis in there as well. Yeah, Vinny, nice home run, no doubt about it. His third of the season, second home run in as many days, third home run in the last 5 games. He jumped a horribly located fastball. The White Sox rookie right-hander, Nastrini, his catcher was set up down and away. And Nastrini tried to throw it by Vinny like he did Bobby Witt Jr., the batter before. But instead of locating it low and away, he tried to go in Vinny's kitchen. And Vinny was ready for it and tattooed that bad boy. 108 miles per hour off the bat, sent it 421 feet. Vinny is rolling right now. Speaking of Vinny Pasquantino, he joined Joel Goldberg on the field at Guaranteed Rate Field following today's 2-0 loss. And you know Vinny, man. Vinny's always entertaining. And if you want to get fired up for the Royals, take a listen to your first baseman.
Yeah, we're happy with how tonight went, obviously. The result's what matters, and we got to win, and we're ready to get back at them tomorrow.
Winning always feels good. I got to, this is every night, ask you about your starting pitching. You look up at the end, and it's like Seth Lugo just consistent every single time. From your vantage point, how does he do it?
Yeah, it's starting to come the expectation, huh, starters? What they're doing is ridiculous, and, you know, it's an honor to, play behind them every single night. So, it like I just said, it's becoming an expectation for those guys to just be ridiculous every night, but we know that as an offense we need to do a better job of putting more runs up, and not to put the pressure on all the pitchers all the time to keep these games low scoring. So for us, we're going to get back at it tomorrow and see what happens.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday, losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. Well, what is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of 7 in a row, or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
Let's go. Vinny, huh? That's the mouthpiece right there. Bobby's not going to say that. Salvi's not going to say that. Now, Bobby's a superstar. Bobby's one of the 10 best players on the planet. Salvi is the Kansas City Royals, right? That's why he's got that C on his chest. So Salvi has his role to set the standard. Bobby has his role to be a freak. Vinny has his role. Be undeniable at the plate. Play your tail off defensively. And be the mouthpiece of that squad. Vinny's hit safely in 5 straight games. Has an average of .556 in that stretch. That's 10 for 18. Yeah, 10 for 18, 3 doubles, 3 homers, 3 walks, 10 stakes. 10 RBI in his last 5 games. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. Okay, I deserve that. Raj in the Ozarks writing in, giving me a hard time for how panicked I was about Salvi. I'm sorry, I know. Raj, I can't explain to you how embarrassed I am at how much that was. Like, that's not just, oh, he's, you know, having fun. Like, embarrassed. How have I not learned that no matter how gruesome it looks, how much pain he appears to be, he's probably going to be all right? No. I shouldn't be embarrassed. See, this is the internal conversation I've had all day. I shouldn't be embarrassed because he's a 33-year-old catcher. Okay, fine. Chesler Cuthbert didn't break his leg back in 2017. Oh, that was 7 years ago. He was 27, 26. Still, concussions, foul balls off the neck, the knee, the thigh, the groin. Tommy John, COVID. Just nothing. I mean, I'm glad. But it's just that balance of, I don't want to take it for granted. I see how hard he works. I hear all the stories about the standard that he sets, about the drive of Salvador Perez. So I understand the unique nature of who he is. So I want to have a proper amount of reverence for that. I'm also not trying to look like an idiot that doesn't learn from past experiences. But you're right, Raj. Yeah, I was off. I didn't think it would be a grade one strain. The way he was limping and coming off the field, the way that Francisco Alvarez and Starling Marte picked him up, I'm like, oh my God. They just saw their hero go down. And you see these growing strains keeping dudes... I should take all the jokes. You're right. That was ridiculous. Rob in Spring Hill. Vern, happy to see the boys in blue get a gutty win tonight. Good teams make the bad teams lose. Also, hats off to the White Sox starter. Did not look like a young man making his big league debut. Now he had a perfecto into the fourth inning. 2 outs in the fourth inning until Vinny went ya-ya over the right center field wall. This kid was throwing the greatest game of his life. Thanks for listening, Rob. Ryan from Olathe. Vern, no question about it. This team will easily win 100 games. So long as we keep playing the White Sox. Yeah, you're right about that. Gabe in Independence. Vern, let's not forget it was John Sherman, the owner. Hate him or love him, but he was the one who opened his checkbook for those names like Waka, Lugo, the trades of Reagans and Schreiber, MacArthur and Velasquez. So credit goes where credit is due, signed Gabe at Independence. Yeah, Gabe, and that goes back to what I said in the open. The power structure right now from ownership to the front office to the coaching staff, all of them right now, in my opinion, hitting at a pretty high clip. None more important, in my opinion, than the general manager. because that's what baseball is. Baseball, in my thought, in 2024, it's a GM's game. And when you're the GM in this market, you got to have a very high batting average. You got to be hitting at a very high clip. And so far, that's exactly what J.J. Piccolo's doing. From the 816, Vern, Matt Quatrero manages to win. It's comforting knowing that he's not playing around. Again, yes, exactly what I'm... respectful but decisive. Action speaking louder than words. Maintain belief to the media, to the player themselves. But when they give you a reason to pull the ripcord, act decisively. The way that he's handled Will Smith, the way that he handled Chris Stratton, right? Some saying, oh, he got pinched last night. Okay, well, if you really believe that, go right back to him in the eighth. Keep him in that role as the setup guy. Q did. And Chris Stratton made him look good. 13 pitches, a 1-2-3 eighth inning. Few more from the text line. Lori in Austin. She says, Vernon may take a few more games to work out the kinks, but I'm hopeful. Things I noticed last year was that everyone was happy to be in the big leagues. This year, they know they deserve to be in the big leagues. They know they've earned it, and they now know that they can hold their own. It's Lori in Austin. Lori, as you know, I mean, those steps are so very key. When you have a group, when you have a core, they need to check those boxes. I know I say that all the time, but it's important. Knowing that you're good enough to stay in the big leagues, knowing what it takes to win consistently, the sacrifice needed to win in the big leagues, knowing that the guy hitting behind you is good enough to win in the big leagues, is good enough to execute the game plan, do what is needed to win in the big leagues. So you need all those boxes checked. Then you need to go out there and do it. Then you need to win in August and September. And then you need to prove that you can do it in October. Maybe you can get on a magic carpet ride and check all those boxes off in 1 year. To me, it took the last championship team 2.5 years to get all those boxes checked. We'll see if they can expedite it in 2024. We'll see. 816, wondering what's going on with Michael Massey. Well, Annie Rogers of MLB.com reported earlier today that Massey will stay in AAA. He will make the road trip with the Storm Chasers that begins tomorrow. Matt Quatrero telling Annie that, you know, they want to make sure he's 100%. Make sure that he can play every single day before they bring him back. I think that's the wise move. You bring him back too soon. And, you know, obviously the re-aggravation of the lower back is a issue, although I think that's more of a training staff issue. You bring him back too soon, and if he's not right at the plate, it could snowball and destroy a season for a 26-year-old that can't afford it. So Massey's already going to feel a certain amount of pressure. He has a lot of empty boxes right now. While everyone else is checking those boxes left and right, finding confidence at every turn, Michael Massey's going to be behind everyone else. He's going to need to check a bunch of boxes that everybody else already has. Massey's going to need success. He's going to need victories. He's going to need to play a key part in a victory before his boxes get checked. So you don't want to rush that guy back. You don't want to bring him back when his bat is put in a prime. At least I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to bring Michael Massey back and be like, bro, we need you. We need you to put up numbers right out of the gate. Adam Frazier, Nick Lofton tonight combined to go 1-for-7 with a walk and a run scored. Not getting a ton of production right now out of second base, but honestly, you're not getting a lot of production out of right field. You're not getting a lot of production out of third base. But you're 11-6. Fourth best record right now in Major League Baseball. All right, final few texts coming in. 500 baseball against the good teams right now, Vern. This is coming from the 641. Play 500 against the good teams, dominate the bad teams, and this division becomes very, very winnable. No doubt about it. Kathy in LA is excited that Salvi's okay. Kathy, you know we're all excited about that. How could you not be? Henry from Topeka is grateful that J.J. Piccolo isn't waiting for every player that he drafts to figure it out. Either you got it or you don't. Please don't be afraid to spend some money like John Sherman did this offseason. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine a GM's ever afraid to spend money. So, yeah, when the owner opens up the pocketbook like he did this offseason for more than $100 million, you better return something of note. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Hunter Renfroe, Chris Stratton. You got a save in there. You have five quality starts, a couple of knocks, a home run from Hunter Renfroe. Yeah, so far, money well spent. So I would imagine it's a very happy owner in John Sherman, which then in turn makes a very happy general manager in J.J. Piccolo. We could all understand that. If the boss is happy, you're happy. Brady Singer has a chance to make us all happy tomorrow night as the Royals look to take Game 2 from the White Sox. Brady Singer squaring off with fellow right-hander Jonathan Cannon. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Royals, White Sox, it's only Game 18. We're barely 10% of the way through this 160-game march through the summer. The depth will be tested. Thankfully, not as soon as I may have thought 24 hours ago. But just enjoy the ride, my friends. I don't know how much longer the pitching can be as excellent as it has been. Let's hope at least one more day. JT Noah, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30 for the On Deck Show. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
One ball, two strikes. MacArthur delivers. Breaking ball, low and outside. Jimenez checked his swing. He went around. Strike three. First base umpire Jordan Baker says he swung, and the game is over. The Royals blank the White Sox 2-0 and take game one of this three-game series at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals win 2-0. The record is now 11-6. Save number three on the season for James MacArthur, his fifth straight scoreless appearance. MacArthur strikes out two in today's outing. Make that eight strikeouts for MacArthur in his last 5 2/3 scoreless innings of relief. Four hits, one walk, a hit batsman, so a grand total of six base runners, eight strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings for your closer, James MacArthur. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. A lot coming in on the text line from the 816. Vern, what an exciting start for Seth Lugo. And big props to James MacArthur cementing his place as the closer for 2024. Go Royals. More than an exciting start for Seth Lugo. Four straight quality starts. He's 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA. A homerless streak of 39 1/3 innings dating back to last September. And if you go back to the beginning of last year, Seth Lugo has spun a quality start in 21 of his last 30 outings. He was mixing all of his pitches tonight, keeping Chicago's no-name lineup very much off balance. He spoke with Annie Rogers and Jalen Thompson after the game, and Bally Sports Kansas City was there. Here's Seth Lugo.
I feel like I had most of my pitches moving the directions I want. I was able to locate when I needed to.
What's the difference between facing these guys earlier in April versus today?
Well, there's kind of a different lineup. I know a few of the guys are hurt over there, but, it's kind of heavy left-handed tonight. But really just trying to mix up my pitches from my last start.
How would you categorize this group that you're in these first couple of starts with the Royals?
I'm trying not to think about it. Just keep putting in work and stick with my routine. And, try to stay locked in each night on pitch.
How helpful has it been to have guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Adam Frazier up the middle for you, Michael Garcia, making those defensive plays?
Yeah, it's great. I feel like anytime a runner reaches first, if I can get contact, those guys got a good chance to turn it too. So, having an infield like that, it's huge for me.
Speaking of that, I think it was a sixth inning, that double play to get you out of there quickly. How big was that for you?
It was huge. I feel like, Vaughn's he's a good hitter, and, I was able to mix pitches well and get him to hit the ball on the ground. I know with him, you're one mistake away from tying the game, so getting him out, double play was pretty big there.
One of the big messages in the offseason from front office and management and coaches was for the pitching staff to really attack the strike zone. How contagious does that become early in the season when you guys take it into real games and see the success that you've been having?
I think it's big. As a starter, when the other starter's gone, you're constantly watching and seeing how they're attacking guys, what sequences they're using, what happens when you make quality pitches in the strike zone. And I think, like you said, it kind of feeds off on the whole staff. So it's been fun, and it's nice to watch other guys do that as well.
Part of your game plan throwing more sinkers tonight against them than previously?
I think it just worked out that way. I felt like I had a good sinker in the bullpen, so I just went with it. It wasn't necessarily the game plan going in, but after a few early in the game, I felt like it was a good pitch tonight.
Yeah, that's a veteran right there, a veteran move. Seth Lugo following a 7 shutout inning performance, 4 hits, 4 punch outs, and only 1 walk for the 34-year-old. 913-586-7610. We go back to the text line. Dan in KCK. Lugo's on pace to win 20 games. Vern, we haven't had one of them since Mark Gubiza. Is that right? From the 816, Vern, giraffes can pluck apples off trees easily, just like any team in baseball can beat the Chicago Trash Sox. All right, and then he goes on to tell me how it's all a mirage. All right. Not everyone buying in to the Royals' 11-6 start. That's all right. Pletch writes in, our good buddy Pletch writing in. Vern, which win was more important today? This one or the news that we get Salvi back? He would tell you this one. Yeah, he would tell you that, wouldn't he? Vern, he would tell you that the win on the field is more important, and that's just one of the many things that endears him to Royals fans. Lucky breaks, like Salvi being healthy, those are the things that play into special seasons. And this season has certainly gotten off to a special start. We have wrinkles to iron out, no doubt about it, Vern, but it seems we're working with pretty good fabric. Signed, Pletch. Well said. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7610. From the 913, nice home run, Vinny. And James MacArthur, you are amazing. A couple of baseball emojis in there as well. Yeah, Vinny, nice home run, no doubt about it. His third of the season, second home run in as many days, third home run in the last 5 games. He jumped a horribly located fastball. The White Sox rookie right-hander, Nastrini, his catcher was set up down and away. And Nastrini tried to throw it by Vinny like he did Bobby Witt Jr. the batter before, But instead of locating it low and away, he tried to go in Vinny's kitchen, and Vinny was ready for it and tattooed that bad boy. 108 miles per hour off the bat, sent it 421 feet. Vinny is rolling right now. Speaking of Vinny Pasquantino, he joined Joel Goldberg on the field at Guaranteed Rate Field following today's 2-0 loss. And you know Vinny, man. Vinny's always entertaining. And if you want to get fired up for the Royals, take a listen to your first baseman.
Yeah, we're happy with how tonight went, obviously. The result's what matters, and we got to win, and we're ready to get back at them tomorrow.
Winning always feels good. I got to, this is every night, ask you about your starting pitching. You look up at the end, and it's like Seth Lugo just consistent every single time. From your vantage point, how does he do it?
Yeah, it's starting to come the expectation, huh, starters? Yeah, what they're doing is ridiculous, and, you know, it's an honor to, play behind them every single night. So, it like I just said, it's becoming an expectation for those guys to just be ridiculous every night, but we know that as an offense we need to do a better job of putting more runs up, and not to put the pressure on all the pitchers all the time to keep these games low scoring. So for us, we're going to get back at it tomorrow and see what happens.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. Well, what is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of 7 in a row, or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
Let's go. Vinny. Huh? That's the mouthpiece right there. Bobby's not going to say that. Salvi's not going to say that. Now, Bobby's a superstar. Bobby's one of the 10 best players on the planet. Salvi is the Kansas City Royals, right? That's why he's got that C on his chest. So Salvi has his role to set the standard. Bobby has his role to be a freak. Vinny has his role. Be undeniable at the plate. Play your tail off defensively. And be the mouthpiece of that squad. Vinny's hit safely in 5 straight games. Has an average of .556 in that stretch. That's 10 for 18. Yeah, 10 for 18, 3 doubles, 3 homers, 3 walks, 10 stakes. 10 RBI in his last 5 games. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. Okay. I deserve that. Raj in the Ozarks writing in, giving me a hard time for how panicked I was about Salvi. I'm sorry. I know. Raj, I can't explain to you how embarrassed I am at how much that was. Like, that's not just, oh, he's, having fun. Like, embarrassed. How have I not learned that no matter how gruesome it looks, how much pain he appears to be, probably going to be all right. No. I shouldn't be embarrassed. See, this is the internal conversation I've had all day. I shouldn't be embarrassed because he's a 33-year-old catcher. Okay, fine. Chesler Cuthbert didn't break his leg back in 2017. Oh, that was 7 years ago. He was 27, 26. Still concussions, foul balls off the neck, the knee, the thigh, the groin. Tommy John, COVID. Just nothing. I mean, I'm glad. But it's just that balance of, I don't want to take it for granted. I see how hard he works. I hear all the stories about the standard that he sets, about the drive of Salvador Perez. So I understand the unique nature of who he is. So I want to have a proper amount of reverence for that. I'm also not trying to look like an idiot that doesn't learn from past experiences. But you're right, Raj. Yeah, I was off. I didn't think it would be a grade 1 strain. Wait, he was limping and coming off the field the way that Francisco Alvarez and Starling Marte picked him up. I'm like, oh my God, They just saw their hero go down. And you see these growing strains keeping dudes. No, I should take all the jokes. You're right. That was ridiculous. Rob in Spring Hill. Vern, happy to see the boys in blue get a gutty win tonight. Good teams make the bad teams lose. Also, hats off to the White Sox starter. Did not look like a young man making his big league debut. Now he had a perfecto into the fourth inning. Two outs in the fourth inning. Until Vinny went ya-ya over the right center field wall, this kid was throwing the greatest game of his life. Thanks for listening, Rob. Ryan from Olathe. Vern, no question about it. This team will easily win 100 games. So long as we keep playing the White Sox. Yeah, you're right about that. Gabe in Independence. Vern, let's not forget it was John Sherman, the owner. Hate him or love him, but he was the one who opened his checkbook for those names like Waka, Lugo, the trades of Reagans and Schreiber, MacArthur and Velasquez. So credit goes where credit is due, signed Gabe at Independence. Yeah, Gabe, and that goes back to what I said in the open. The power structure right now from ownership to the front office to the coaching staff, all of them right now, in my opinion, hitting at a pretty high clip. None more important, in my opinion, than the general manager. Because that's what baseball is. Baseball, in my thought, in 2024, it's a GM's game. And when you're the GM in this market, you got to have a very high batting average. You got to be hitting at a very high clip. And so far, that's exactly what J.J. Piccolo's doing. From the 816, Vern, Matt Quatrero manages to win. It's comforting knowing that he's not playing around. Again, yes, exactly what I'm... Respectful but decisive. Action speaking louder than words. Maintain belief to the media, to the player themselves. But when they give you a reason to pull the ripcord, act decisively. The way that he's handled Will Smith, the way that he handled Chris Stratton, right? Some saying, oh, he got pinched last night. Okay, well, if you really believe that, go right back to him in the eighth. Keep him in that role as the setup guy. Q did. And Chris Stratton made him look good. 13 pitches, a 1-2-3 eighth inning. Few more from the text line. Lori in Austin. She says, Vernon may take a few more games to work out the kinks, but I'm hopeful things I noticed last year was that everyone was happy to be in the big leagues. This year, they know they deserve to be in the big leagues. They know they've earned it, and they now know that they can hold their own. It's Lori in Austin. Lori, as you know, I mean, those steps are so very key. You know, when you have a group, when you have a core, they need to check those boxes. I know I say that all the time, but it's important. Knowing that you're good enough to stay in the big leagues, knowing what it takes to win consistently, the sacrifice needed to win in the big leagues, knowing that the guy hitting behind you is good enough to win in the big leagues, is good enough to execute the game plan, do what is needed to win in the big leagues. So you need all those boxes checked. Then you need to go out there and do it. Then you need to win in August and September, and then you need to prove that you can do it in October. Maybe you can get on a magic carpet ride and check all those boxes off in 1 year. To me, it took the last championship team 2.5 years to get all those boxes checked. We'll see if they can expedite it in 2024. We'll see. 816, wondering what's going on with Michael Massey. Well, Annie Rogers of MLB.com reported earlier today that Massey will stay in AAA. He will make the road trip with the Storm Chasers that begins tomorrow. Matt Quatrero telling Annie that, you know, they want to make sure he's 100%. Make sure that he can play every single day before they bring him back. I think that's the wise move. You bring him back too soon. And, you know, obviously the re-aggravation of the lower back is a issue. Although I think that's more of a training staff issue. You bring him back too soon, and if he's not right at the plate, it could snowball and destroy a season for a 26-year-old that can't afford it. So Massey's already going to feel a certain amount of pressure. He has a lot of empty boxes right now. While everyone else is checking those boxes left and right, finding confidence at every turn, Michael Massey's going to be behind everyone else. He's going to need to check a bunch of boxes that everybody else already has. Massey's going to need success. He's going to need victories. He's going to need to play a key part in a victory before his boxes get checked. So you don't want to rush that guy back. You don't want to bring him back when his bat is put in a prime. At least I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to bring Michael Massey back and be like, bro, we need you. We need you to put up numbers right out of the gate. Adam Frazier, Nick Lofton tonight combined to go 1-for-7 with a walk and a run scored. Not getting a ton of production right now out of second base, but honestly, you're not getting a lot of production out of right field. You're not getting a lot of production out of third base. But you're 11-6. Fourth best record right now in Major League Baseball. All right, final few texts coming in. 500 baseball against the good teams right now, Vern. This is coming from the 641. Play 500 against the good teams, dominate the bad teams, and this division becomes very, very winnable. No doubt about it. Kathy in LA is excited that Salvi's okay. Kathy, you know we're all excited about that. How could you not be? Henry from Topeka is grateful that J.J. Piccolo isn't waiting for every player that he drafts to figure it out. Either you got it or you don't. Please don't be afraid to spend some money like John Sherman did this offseason. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine a GM's ever afraid to spend money. So, yeah, when the owner opens up the pocketbook like he did this offseason for more than $100 million, you better return something of note. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Hunter Renfroe, Chris Stratton. You got a save in there. You have five quality starts, a couple of knocks, a home run from Hunter Renfroe. Yeah, so far, money well spent. So I would imagine it's a very happy owner in John Sherman, which then in turn makes a very happy general manager in J.J. Piccolo. We can all understand that. If the boss is happy, you're happy. Brady Singer has a chance to make us all happy tomorrow night as the Royals look to take Game 2 from the White Sox. Brady Singer squaring off with fellow right-hander Jonathan Cannon. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Royals, White Sox, it's only Game 18. We're barely 10% of the way through this 160-game march through the summer. The depth will be tested. Thankfully, not as soon as I may have thought 24 hours ago. But just enjoy the ride, my friends. I don't know how much longer the pitching can be as excellent as it has been. Let's hope at least one more day. JT Noah, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30 for the On Deck Show. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.